it's the same Thursday. We're giving you two episodes today. Are you so excited?
You should be.
Double paid. I'm sorry, not double paid. But I wish you did get double paid tomorrow.
Yeah.
I like to talk to you guys about money.
We all know how it is, guys. It's okay.
It's a struggle. Harlow and I just spent so much time talking, so there's not going to be much of an intro here. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We were like listening to some music.
We like folk punk.
Yeah.
You like folk punk. Let's start another podcast about folk punk.
We just give song. We tell you, all right, listen to this song. Bye.
It's a 2-minute podcast where we play the whole album because the albums are so short.
How long can you legally play music? It's like 30 seconds.
Like 30 seconds or something.
We can just give you 30 seconds of a song.
And then you'll know what the whole entire album is because That's how long a folk punk album is.
Just fast forward like clips.
I think Ramshackle Glory is like my favorite album. It's like 30 minutes.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No. Oh, it's my turn.
It's Harlow's turn.
It's my turn.
Harlow.
It's me.
That's right. Them.
I gotta do true crime today.
I'm Alexa, by
That's
the way.
That's Alexa,
just
by the way.
Just in case you, like, randomly selected
this
episode.
Yeah, in case you forgot, in, like, the 5 episodes behind this. We sound different. That's Alexa. I'm Harlow. Hello.
And it's Harlow's turn. Sorry, Harlow. I just wanted some attention.
Yeah, it's just okay. Everyone deserves attention. It's fine. I'm doing true crime today.
Right. Everybody stop laughing.
Yeah, this is not funny. It's really not.
It's actually horrible.
It's very sad. All right, here we go. My case takes place in Rockdale, Texas, which is, it's south of Dallas, like way south, in between Temple and College Station.
Okay.
So our victim in this story is Sonia Wallace. She's a 15-year-old girl who went to Rockdale High School. She's 15 and in high school, which...
That's sophomore year. I have a June birthday.
I always forgot because I was like older. So this all happened in 1999. So there's, honest to God, and I tried really hard to look for anything about her. But there's nothing I can tell you about the kind of kid that Sonia was. But honestly, she just seemed like an average kid. Like everyone said, yeah, she had friends. She was super nice. But that's literally the extent of the knowledge I have on her. I couldn't find any online obituaries because it happened in 1999.
Yeah, I was about to ask.
There's not anything. There's, like, pictures up of her, and she looks to be, like, a kind of tomboyish kind of girl, but, like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the only information I have.
That's the worst when you can only go on pictures like that.
Yeah. So, on February 19th of 1999, Sonia left her house that afternoon telling her family that she was going to go just walk to the post office and deliver a letter. And they expected her back after, like, a couple minutes because the house was only 4 blocks away. And I went on Google Maps and I checked it. And it's, like, I think I said it was, like, 20 minutes, like, all together, like, there and back. So it shouldn't have taken that long, 20 or 30 minutes. But she never came home.
Damn.
Her family reported her missing the next day. And I think that they waited so long because Sonia's mother wasn't home. She had actually, and she quote, this is a quote from Dateline. She's saying, I will regret this till the day I die. This was supposed to be my day off, but they called me into work, so I went to work.
Oh.
I didn't find out till I got back that night at 10 p.m. So her mom didn't know she was missing that whole, from noon to 10 that
was
night.
Was anybody else home?
So I honestly don't know. I know my mother said before that, like, every article said that she told her family that was there at the house that she was going to go by real quick. So somebody was there. I don't know if that was younger or older siblings. I don't know if that was her dad, like grandparents or whatever.
Yeah.
But someone in the house knew she was gone.
Hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. And which is weird because, like, you could at least call someone if someone's listening, like, call some friends. Everyone's got, like, a house phone.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, why didn't they call the mom at work?
Yeah. So, assuming she did leave, like, right at noon, that's 10 hours gone for a trip that takes maybe 20, 30 minutes altogether. Beep, boop, boop. So, even if it is, like, the late 90s, like, literally 99, even if you did go, like, oh, there's my friend, I'm gonna go to their house because they see me walk in and I'm just gonna go with them, you would have still, like, called, like, a parent or called at home. Be like, hey, I went to so-and-so's house, I'll be back later, or can you come pick me up later?
Yeah.
Like, but none of that happened, which is probably super not cool,
and yeah,
it's very odd. So the day after, the following day, the Rockdale Police Department began investigations where she was last seen. They interviewed friends, family, and the students at the school she went to. But as far as I can tell, nothing came from it. Like, nobody saw anything. Nobody knew if she had other plans. And it just, the case investigation just kind of, like, fizzled out because there's honestly nothing there. A week goes by and then another. And finally, on March 14th, 1999, a man driving near the area by structure in Copeland, Texas. It's about, like, a 45-minute drive, like, kind of southwest of Rockdale. He was driving through this back roads because it's all, like, farming, ranching kind mm-hmm. of place. It's a bunch of empty shit with, like, essentially, like, fences for, animals to go.
What was he doing there?
So, because it is, like, a ranching area, it's mentioned that in one of the articles I saw, he is a rancher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he had, like, cattle in the area. So, if you see buzzards circling where your fucking cattle are going to be, you're going to go check it out because you don't want, like, to be, like, a dead calf
or oh, yeah.
something else that's not supposed to be in there is dead and it's going to attract coyotes or whatever.
Yeah.
So, he, you know, goes over and checks it out and he gets to, there's, like, this bridge kind of down in this, like, creek area and down at the very bottom. And when he gets there, he discovers the body of Sonia Wallace. So when she's found, she's severely decomposed, and what they can gather was that she had just been bludgeoned to death.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. 15 years
she's
old.
She's 15.
15. So Detective Miller was telling Dateline that it was obvious that foul play was involved. We have no evidence where the actual murder occurred. My belief is that she was killed somewhere else and brought under the bridge.
Under the what?
Under the bridge.
Fridge. I thought you said fridge. No. The fuck?
So it was like, I guess, like a road, and there's a creek under here with like the little tunnel thing. And yeah. She was like found right next
to
it. Wow. Mm-hmm. And he also mentions that they don't know where the actual murder was called. She could have moved. I don't know. I guess if there was a road there, she could have just been, like, honestly dumped off. But also, I wondered, like, if the creek was deep enough, or if it was raining, she could have moved.
Gotten dragged down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to said about it. So, at that point, the Williamson County Sheriff's Office took hold of the investigation because it was in their jurisdiction. Like, it's the county. They can.
Yeah.
And according to Sergeant John Picorni, the team gathered evidence that included Sonia's clothes and some soda bottles, which I think the soda bottles are just ones that wash down
trash.
In the creek, and
yeah.
it's honestly just trash, yeah. Sergeant Picorni believes her friends might have valuable information. At the time, they might have been, like, 16, 17, 18, but now they're well into life and have kids of their own. Their lifestyles may have changed, their mentalities changed, and someone out there knows something. Sonia's mother, she said she believes it was someone Sonia knew that did this to her. But, like, the unfortunate thing about it is, like, whenever I was looking up on maps, because I like to see where everything
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I'm very visual. I was checking it out. In front of this post office is, honest to God, just a whole fucking highway, like a farm market road. And then that road, I looked at it. It goes.
Forever.
Can honestly, either direction you want to go, you can go way fucking East Texas, way fucking Southwest Texas. Like, it goes for a while. And, like, the unfortunate part about this, like, it gets traveled a lot. It kind of runs through, like, an important area. And, like, lots of people are going to go there.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the middle of the day. If you go follow that road, actually, and you make, like, a couple extra turns, you can get to where her body was found easy.
Damn.
Like, that same road goes right through couple turns, and that's where the
wow
city was where she was found, roughly. They had a cold case unit, and they said there had been over 100 people interviewed, and that they are in the process of extracting DNA as of September 17th in 2018. Yeah, so it's been like 2 years ish.
I wonder if they'll upload it into CODIS or whatever and see if they can figure it out, like the way they found out Golden mm-hmm. State Killer with the ancestry stuff.
My concern is that they don't say what they got the DNA from, so either it's on her clothes, which they have.
Did they say she was sexually assaulted?
No, they haven't said anything, but I don't know if they would because she is 15.
Yeah.
I don't think if
she
was,
like to...
they wouldn't probably go public with it
mm-hmm.
unless they deemed it valuable information that people could use to find the killer.
Yeah.
Which they have, as far as I can see, no leads at all.
Damn.
Like, they have nothing. But the DNA was sent in on September 17th, 2018. So, like, It's probably still in the process of being tested, honestly, depending on the amount of evidence they could gather from her body, which was, again, severely decomposed when they found her in a creek with water. There might not be a lot, and it could take longer because it's not as much. And if it was from her clothes, I mean, same situation.
There's a really good episode of Jensen and Holes where Paul talks about finding a victim in water.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Texas, so it's probably not the same. Sometimes if the water is cold enough, it can actually preserve
mm-hmm.
some yeah, stuff.
Yeah, it'll slow stuff down, like, in the yeah. whatever. Yeah. I don't know, because it was Texas.
It's probably disgusting, lukewarm.
Leak, awful. And it also depends on when she actually died and how long her body been there, too.
Yeah.
Because it'd been a couple months. Yeah. So there's no telling. But, like, that's it. That's the whole
Damn.
Thing. They have... They're testing DNA, but...
Which is good to hear, but...
Yeah, which is amazing. I'm happy that they're doing that. But, like, there's no person of interest that's public. There's no additional information about if she was seen with somebody, if someone picked her up. Like, there's nothing. Because it could go, like, one of two ways. Like, her mom is right. Someone she did know picked her up. Took her somewhere, and it seemed normal because everyone, knows they know each other. It's fine. It's casual. Or there's the other exact opposite where the middle of the day, she's walking along this highway, some stranger, probably two, because someone needs to drive, someone needs to grab her,
mm-hmm.
shoved her into a truck. Nobody happened to see it by some awful chance, and yeah. then just drive away and kill her.
Well, like, it makes me think about, I think I mentioned this last time, like, the date. Rodney Alcala, the dating game killer,
mm-hmm.
he got someone in his car because he, like, I think it was, like, a little girl, and he was mm-hmm. like, I have a pretty picture I want to show you,
yeah.
and she got in his car, but, like, he also had, like, do you want me to drive you there, like, on that way, in that mm-hmm. way, which is, like, always a possibility.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when you're 15, you're stupid.
Yeah.
When you're 20, you're stupid.
So that's just another thing. Like, there's, honest to God, there's so many options for what could have yeah. happened to her. And there's no witnesses. There's no nothing that's come forward that I can find.
I don't know if I agree with the detective saying that, like, it's one of her friends or something. That
yeah, I don't.
Silly.
I'm going to trust that they know what they're doing, but also I don't. If anybody listening knows anybody in that area, any information can go to the Williamson County Sheriff's Office Cold Case Unit. Their phone number is 512-943-5204, or you can email it at coldcasetips@wilco, that's WILCO.org. Your tips can be anonymous, that's fine. And there's also the Milam, MILAM, County Crime Stoppers. You can call them at 1-888-697-TIPS, T-I-P-S. And you can also go on their website and do tips anonymously there.
We'll have all those sources up on our website, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's just, like...
It's just sad because she's a kid.
Yeah, like
and
a little
like,
kid.
Been cold for like however long and nothing's come from it. And like the shit, sorry, it happens a lot.
Oh, it does. Yeah, it definitely does. And the fact that like a 15-year-old girl got murdered brutally and nobody probably will ever know what happened. Mm-hmm.
But I think it also shows the fact that we have had progress.
Oh, yeah.
Because like if this was in 99, we didn't have fucking Amber Alerts or whatever.
Yeah.
Now like... I get notifications if a kid goes missing in, like, Houston or
yeah.
Austin.
Yeah.
Like, we're making progress, but it's still just so fucking slow.
It is slow. It's a slow process, unfortunately, but, like, mm-hmm. you know, Golden State Killer got caught.
We'll get there eventually.
And that's a big deal. This is really fucking sad.
Oh, no!
But it's, like, really...
It's just wild.
We can make a lot of jokes.
I saw it, and I'm very excited because you started telling me about it once, and I about lost my mind.
Yeah. Okay. So this amazing story is about the Great Molasses Flood.
Jesus.
Which I knew about for a long time and, like, kind of wanted to do a whole podcast around weird history, which is why mm-hmm. I cover so much weird history. I'm mm-hmm. sorry I always do that.
Weird history's fun,
but
y'all.
But I wanted to do that, like, a whole podcast about weird history, and then... I was like, I don't know, like, do people care? And then Karen Kilgara from My Favorite Murder covered it, and I was like, damn it! Because it's, like, such a popular podcast.
Yeah.
But she did an amazing job, so I hope I do it justice. I used Wikipedia, History.com, and BostonNews.com, but BostonNews.com, like, used a lot of sources from, like, the paper that, like, came out.
Like, archive stuff. Yeah, yeah,
which I don't have access to because I don't have microfiche. I think if I got a... I think the library near where I live has, like, microfiche, but I don't know. Microfiche? Microfiche?
What are you... I don't even know what you're saying.
That stuff where you can look through old newspapers. Like, you know how, like, on the X-Files where they, like, flip through the old newspapers and it goes...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Microfiche?
I didn't know that it had a name.
Or microfiche.
I like microfiche.
I like microfiche. Captain Catfish. Captain Catfish. Microfiche. Microfiche. And that was this week because we dropped two episodes this week, so we can make that joke.
We can make that joke. Can't act like you forgot.
All right. So on January 15th, 1919, around 12:30 p.m. in Boston's North End, residents suddenly heard the sound of an elevated train passing by, followed by the sound of machine gun fire or something like a loud thundercrap.
Thundercrap.
I'm a thundercrap. Or something like a loud thunderclap. Before a 25-foot wave of molasses came rushing out onto the city as rivets and metal walls from the Purity Distillery Company's 50-foot tall and 90-foot diameter Jesus. Molasses storage tank exploded.
Why do you need...
2,300,000 gallons of molasses filled the streets, reaching speeds up to 35 miles an hour. The wave of molasses was strong enough to sweep buildings off of their foundations and crush them. A streetcar was momentarily moved off of its tracks, mm-hmm. and streets were filled with 2 to 5 feet of molasses. Oh, I'm sorry, 2 to 3 feet of molasses. People were picked up and hurled many feet, and many people became trapped within the molasses whenever it started to cool because of the temperatures.
It's like what happens to, like, dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Like, in, like, amber and shit.
Yeah. So here's a quote that the Boston Post had reported. Molasses waist deep covered the street and swirled and bubbled about the wreckage. Here and there struggled to form. Whether it was animal or a human being was impossible to tell. Only an upheaval, a thrashing about in the sticky mess, showed where any life was. Horses died like so many flies on sticky flypaper.
Oh my god.
The more they struggled, the deeper in the mess they were ensnared. Human beings, men and women, suffered likewise. Isn't that such a dramatic
Jesus.
Quote?
Yes.
Yeah. Cleaning crews took weeks to clean up the mess and even longer to clean up the rest of the Boston site, the rest of, like, greater Boston, mm-hmm. because sightseers were coming in and cleaning crews were, like, they're tracking molasses everywhere, like subway cars and, like,
people are just walking
cell
around
phones
a hunky dory.
Like, yeah, and they're just like, they said that, like, everything a Bostonian touched within 10 miles was sticky.
Oh,
and
I hate that.
Like, apparently, and I heard this on My Favorite Murder, I couldn't find it, but I guess, like, it smelled like molasses for, like, such a long time.
I don't even know what molasses smells
like. It's
like
maple syrup. So you're like, oh, that smells good, but the next day you're like, I'm gonna fucking
you're
kill
sick
myself.
Of it.
Like,
yeah.
This is a quote. An inquiry after the disaster revealed that Arthur Gell, USIA's treasurer, neglected basic safety tests while overseeing the construction of the tank, such as filling it with water. This is a direct quote, so it doesn't make sense. Such as filling it with water insufficient to check for leaks.
Oh, so you didn't fill it up all the way, way enough to see if, like, at the top or whatever,
there
it was
were
leaking.
Leaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And ignored warning signs such as groaning noises each time the tank was filled.
Jesus fucking Christ.
He had no architectural or engineering experience.
Oh my god!
When filled with molasses, the tank leaked so badly it was painted brown to hide the molasses. Yeah, wait. Local residents collected leaked molasses for their homes. So, like, kids would come up with, like, cups and, like, collect the molasses because it's, like, a treat.
Yeah.
A 2014 investigation applied modern engineering analysis and found that the steel was half as thick as it should have been for a tank its size. Mm-hmm. And even with lax standards of the day, like, because mm-hmm. it was 1919,
yeah,
it was still too thin.
Yeah.
Like, and it also lacked manganese and it was made brittle as a result. And the tank's rivets were apparently flawed and cracks formed at the rivet holes.
Jesus.
And the machine gun fire that everybody heard were the rivets shooting out.
Jesus
of the,
fucking
yeah.
Christ, like a fucking cartoon.
Yeah, like literally.
Jesus.
Residents of the area filed what was thought to be one of the first class action lawsuits against the company, who claimed anarchists blew up the tank.
Fuck yeah.
But after 3 years of hearings, the company eventually paid out $628,000, so that's 9.26 mil for inflation. The relatives received $7,000. $103,000 today's money for each victim. So there were 21 victims, but one victim died. I didn't mention him, but one victim died, like, in a mental hospital, mm-hmm. and he didn't get a payout because they thought, like, they're like, he died because, like, his trauma was too much. Mm-hmm. But I didn't mention him because I'm a bad person. And a lot of these people are have like Italian or foreign names that I can't pronounce.
Okay.
And so I'm sorry. There's Pascal Lantosca. That's totally wrong.
Okay.
He was 10 years old. And he was outside collecting firewood when he was swept up by a wave, and his body wasn't identified until mid-January.
Oh, God.
There's Filomeno Galliariani, and he was 37. He was said to be sitting on his truck when the flood hit. He was reported missing soon after the carnage, but wasn't found until 11 days after the flood. There's Cesare Niccolo. He was 32. He was a wagon driver who wasn't found until 4 months after the flood. That's how long this cleanup took. And you couldn't like tell what anybody was because they're all covered in molasses.
Yeah.
There's William Brogan, 61, and he was a teamster who was caught in the flood. A teamster is like someone who like drives horses. Teams.
Okay.
Bridget Cloudhury, 65. So the rush of the molasses caused a vacuum somehow and like ripped her house from the foundation. And then she like, I don't know if she was in the house or not, but she was crushed by other fallen buildings and rubble because of that. John Callahan, 43, he worked as a paver in the North End paving yard. A lot of these victims were pavers. Maria D'Estacio was 10, and she was found at the base of the molasses tank.
Oh, God.
Yeah. William Duffy, 58, worked as a paver in the North End paving yard, and he was survived by his wife of 35 years and his 19-year-old daughter. Peter Francis was 64. He worked as a blacksmith in the North End paving yard. James H. Kennelly, he didn't have an age, worked in the North End paving yard. Eric Laird was 17, and he was delivering, this one's really sad, he was delivering a shipment when the flood hit. His body was found under, quote, molasses coated massive wrecked auto trucks, express boxes and packages in the freight shed of the Bay State Electric Freight Railway. And then George Lay, he was 38. So there was like a fire station that came crashing down, and he was the only firefighter that died in that. And then there's James Lennon. He's 64. He was a foreman with the North End Paving Yard. There's Ralph Martin. He was 21, and he was working with the Blackstone Supply Company. There's Michael Sinnott. I'm not really sure. He was 74, working as a messenger. Working as a messenger for the Public Works Department. Quote, he had returned to work for 20 minutes before the explosion and was thrown several feet against a pile of paving stones and suffered a fractured skull, both legs broken, and contusions and internal injuries.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's from the Post. James McMullen, he was 46. He was a foreman at the Bay State Express. Thomas Noonan, he was 43. He is a longshoreman. I don't know what but he works like on the shore. I don't know what he does.
What is it?
Longshoreman?
Longshoreman? I know that word, but I don't actually know what it means.
Yeah, he and his son, Carthage Noonan, were returning home from South Boston when on Commercial Street were caught on the flood of the molasses and wreckage, apparently. Peter Sosny, 18, he's a teamster. Quote, his horse covered with molasses was found dead yesterday near North End Park, and the wagon was found wrecked, the Globe reported on January 17th. Quote, no trace of the young man was found. The day of the flood was his first day on the job.
Oh.
And then there's John Seerlich, 69, and he also worked in the North End paving yard. So I covered all the victims so you could just know, like,
Jesus fucking
Christ. The carnage. But, like, it's crazy because, like, the corporate negligence that would like they're like, oh, it's leaking, just paint it brown. Like, oh, it's leaking, like, just tell people like they can come and take the molasses.
There are so many stories.
Oh yeah. In,
like, 50s, 60s kind of thing about just people, or 20s even, of how people just not, we hadn't had unions or whatever that like couldn't, like, there were no regulations on anything.
Yeah,
sorry.
And, like, this actually I read that it wasn't uncommon for someone who, like, wasn't an engineer to, like, take care of stuff like this.
Yeah.
And, like, because of this, now you can think 21 people dying that, like, now we engineers and architects have to be involved in, like...
I'm just, like, I cannot wrap my head around why you need a giant tank of molasses.
Oh, it was a... So, it was, yeah, that was... I knew that was confusing. So, they're a brewery, and molasses, like, I guess... Like,
I guess
it could be made into beer or something. It could be, like, distilled and, like, made into beer or something, or brewed or something. But I also think that maybe it was the off-put of the beer. I didn't understand.
It somehow works with the brewing thing. Okay.
Yeah, it somehow works with the brewing company. But yeah, the fact that it's like the first like class action lawsuit, like, yeah, and they paid out like only like $7,000.
It's not a lot. Considering it went all over the fucking city.
The cleanup took like months, and I think they said it smelled like molasses for like 10 years.
I hate that.
I don't know if it's like a legend, but yeah.
Also, was it hot?
Yeah. Well, so like, what had happened? What that's
mentioned,
why
you mentioned it cooled off. So yeah, like, that whole thing was like fucking hot.
It wasn't like, like, so what had happened? It's kept in the tank like not warmed or anything. Mm-hmm. But what had happened was, is the temperatures got higher that day. Oh, there was a new load that of molasses that got put in that day, mm-hmm, and so it messed with the temperature inside. And the temperature, since so in January, they got unseasonably warm, so it expanded, and that's why the tank exploded.
Oh, so it just
and
fucked
there's
with
just
the metal.
So okay, much molasses coming out, but then the temperatures cooled that day. And then people were getting stuck in it. Okay. And I want to show you pictures too.
I'm just, the only thing I can like think in my brain to compare it to, because I don't fucking eat molasses.
It's like hard to see because like it's not colorized, but there's like a good one where they colorize the molasses.
Looks like it's
look at that.
Wet.
Yeah. Ew. It almost looks like a flood or something.
It looks like a fucking flood.
But it's like,
holy hell.
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy.
It just looks like it's wet.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Like, in my brain, I'm picturing, because I don't eat molasses, I don't know what the fuck you use it for.
I wish I had some, but I would like, go bring it out and show it to you. I don't have any.
Oh. I'm imagining, like, you know how
it's
people...
really thick. Like, do you know what corn syrup is?
Huh?
Corn syrup?
Well, what I was gonna say is, I imagine it, like, have you ever watched those people who, like, make candy, and they put, like, the sugar shit on, like, that warming thing, mm-hmm, and they can just get it, like a palette knife, like, scraper thing, and just are flipping it, and it's, like... It's, you can see how thick it is, but
you
it
see,
just kind of
in this
pools.
Picture, you can kind of tell,
yeah,
how thick
like
it
that.
Is. Yeah. It's like,
Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah. That looks disgusting.
Kind of looks like more liquid Marmite, but it's good, but like you can make cookies, okay, but like it's, yeah.
That's fucking bonkers.
And it's just crazy. Like, that's just like, I love stories like that because that's, that tragedy, as silly as it seems, it was really serious.
Yeah, like, is the amount of oversight by people who are in charge and responsible for the lives of people that live, their workers.
It's
and like the people that live around is fucking ridiculous.
It makes you really scared of our infrastructure.
Yeah,
like the cars like driving over bridges every single day.
Like that's why, like, shit, like that's why I'm obsessed with like Chernobyl and like the Radium Girls or whatever it was.
Oh, Radium! I was gonna cover the Radium Girls. Yeah. Oh, I love the Radium Girls. It's my favorite.
You do that. I'll do Chernobyl. Oh, we'll just have a freaking radiation day.
They're like were coming detached while they're talking and shit.
So I heard a story that one of them went to the dentist and as he was trying to pull a tooth, her entire
jaw just came
fuck
off. Yep,
that's terrifying.
Yep, dude, that's like one of my favorite.
Sorry,
I felt
like body horror.
There's
like
a great play about the Radium Girls. Mm-hmm. I think Jacinda might have been in it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Cool.
But like, yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, I want to cover more stories like that because it's guys, hey, still happening by the way.
Yeah, it totally is. It's happening in other countries and in America.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's not nearly as extreme because there are laws and regulations, but it's still like people don't give a fuck.
Oh yeah, you can
if
think
you're
about
making money, they can hand wave that shit,
cut
pay
corners.
The right people off. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sorry guys, it's still happening. It's just not as public because it's not fucking molasses. I don't know.
Well, it's just like those Radium Girls were like, oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. Oh, you're fine. No, you're fine.
Because,
no, it's
well,
okay.
Because the thing
and they would come in fucking hazmat suits and shit.
Yeah.
Like, and they're like, wait, why are you in that? And you're telling us we could paint our teeth with it.
Yeah.
Like.
And they would like.
Oh, we can't.
We cannot get into it because I'll fucking
so
I'll
good.
Go off. But yeah. So this is a shorter episode. I don't know if we should mention the biker bills, but.
Those are cool.
You mentioned those while I find the stories from Damien?
Yeah. Okay. So, Harlow actually had a friend suggest that we talk about these. What was your friend's name?
Russell.
Hi, Russell.
Is he Russell?
What a good suggestion. I wish I had my keys in here because I would ring it for you guys. I actually have, my grandma called them guardian bells and my dad called them demon bells. And I guess Russell heard of them as biker bells.
Mm-hmm, yes, biker bells and gremlins and shit.
So there are these cute little bells that you put usually on the bottom of your bike. And the legend that I was taught growing up, my dad had a couple of them, was that whenever bikers are in danger a lot because they're, you know, in that small vehicle and they're like having to maneuver around, So you put the biker bells on your bike, so whenever a demon is going to get onto your bike, or a gremlin or something, to make you wreck, it'll get sucked up in the bell, and the bell will rattle him around so much he'll fall out, and that's what creates potholes. And my dad actually died in a motorcycle wreck, so I wouldn't recommend them to keep you safe.
Oh, God. I was zoning out trying to find it. I'm like, oh, fuck, you went there.
But God. My grandmother actually got us a bunch of them, too. But they were sent to her as guardian bells, I think.
I like gremlin and demon bells.
Demon bells
better.
Are so cuter. Yeah. Or biker bells. Yeah.
Okay. So my friend Damien, he sent me a couple of stories.
Okay. I'm so excited.
So he was texting me. He grew up in like Kansas or whatever.
Was he like an orphan? Then was he actually a demon? And
no,
then he like made the babysitter kill herself.
No.
Sorry, that was sorry, Damien, you haven't heard that one before. It's okay, my name's Alexa.
So one of the ones was that he told me he's like always been like super in tune with like supernatural shit. Damien, I hope this is cool I'm talking about. You send it to
is
me.
Is it Damon or Damien?
Damien.
Oh, okay.
Did I say Damon?
I think you might have said Damien, and then I had a friend named Damon and I panicked.
Oh, Damien. What's up? he was texting me, he's like been super like attuned to that shit, had a bunch of stuff happen to him. And one of the stories was that I'm just gonna read from my messages. I ran into some kind of demon dog or something when I was a kid, and it haunted me for like a week after. And I'm over here freaking the fuck out. And he was like, but yeah, because I mentioned like, oh yeah, dogs following you is like a death omen, my dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but I had no idea. He's like, I just saw this weird dog up in my woods, and it showed up in my dream that night. This kid, while we were watching, like, from her, like, from a crib, and he was just, like, frozen. He couldn't do shit. And then it was, like, he said it was a lucid dream, like, sleep paralysis
Hell no.
And then he said, dogs would always chase me that week. Like, for the rest of that week, the dogs would just fucking chase him.
I don't like that.
And then another one, because we started talking about serial killers, and he's like, oh. You know who was a local serial killer at large when I was a kid? And I'm like, no. He's like, BTK.
Hell yeah, BTK.
Mm-hmm. And he remembers, like, it's seeing in the news.
I'm reading a book about BTK right now.
Mm-hmm. And he mentions, like, that, like, they had, like, his actual murders and, like, copycats where he was growing up. And, like, he called him a fat dad.
He called
him, like, a fat dad. And, like, he just says he hates him, but he grew up with BTK out in Kansas.
Yeah, BTK got caught. One, they used DNA from, I think, his sister's daughter's pap smear. She was pissed about that. And also, he got caught because someone was getting credit. There's a copycat getting credit for him. And he was like, I'm the one.
Guys, I did it.
And so then he like was like at shit. He like tweeted the police. He's like, at the police, if I send in a floppy disk, can you trace this? And the police are like, no.
So this dumbass fucking did
and like it had like in like on the deleted floppy disk had like church stuff and like all kinds
He's
of
so
stuff.
Fucking stupid. Yeah. But, like, can you imagine growing up and be like, oh, yeah, I had a killer in my town. It's fucking BTK.
BTK, like, prolific as fuck. Yeah. That's great. And he's scary.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have any wild shit. I know a local cop was, like, stealing guns.
That was a sheriff of where we're from,
yeah.
I think, actually.
Yeah, he was a sheriff and he was, like, selling
guns. He was confiscating guns and then selling them to people. Yeah. Yeah, that's actually really common. I think that just happened to another cop recently,
I wouldn't be surprised, honestly.
I was trying to think. I lived in a haunted house.
In a haunted house?
Whenever I was growing up, my house, my whole life. Uh-huh. And it was always, like, a little spooky. And I think that, like, after my dad died, the ghost was like, hey, this is my time to shine. Yeah. Because we thought it was my dad for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And, like, oh, God.
Yeah. So, like, what would happen was, like, we had three dogs, and they would always just, like, stare at this, like, linen closet.
They would
just stare at the linen closet. Mm-hmm. So we called it Ghost Closet.
Demon closet.
The ghost closet was backed up right to my closet. Uh-huh. So, like, you know how I'm, like, on this other side of this wall is that, like, where the litter box is in my house?
Yeah,
that would be where the closet is. And so that was, like, a common occurrence. They'd just stop and, like, look at it. And I mean, like, I had three breeds. I had a Pekingese, I had a Chihuahua, and I had a Boxer.
Some very different dogs.
Yeah, so, like, and then, like, I had a picture that my dad painted that I hung up on the wall, and we called her Goth Girl. She would fall off my wall all the time. I would put her up on my wall and she'd fall off. And then I started, he painted a picture of his ex-girlfriend, Tina, mm-hmm. and I started getting really scared of her, so scared that I turned her around. It's my favorite, it's actually hanging in my room now.
Oh, really?
It's my favorite painting. Uh-huh. But I got so scared of her that Zach actually kept all my dad's paintings because mm-hmm. I was scared of them. And
what the hell?
Yeah, it was really weird. I had this weird fear of my dad's paintings. And like the only thing I have is that leather jacket that's behind you. That was mm-hmm. my dad's, and I kept it in my closet.
Yeah.
And then I started getting so freaked out. Like, you know, I painted my room pink because I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
That didn't help. And my stepdad was like really weird about me. He didn't want me sleeping in the living room, so I always had to sleep in my room. Okay. I don't know. He didn't like me sleeping on the couch. But then one time, whenever I was driving, when I got home from school that day, he was like, "Hey, did you come home and go through something in the bathroom?" And I was like, "No." And he's like, "Oh, because when I was taking a shower, I heard like combat boots." Because I used to wear combat boots all the time.
You've told me this.
And he's like, "I heard combat boots and I heard someone rustling through the drawer and I heard the door open and close." Mm. And our door is like, our house is old as fuck. So the door is like, like whenever you opened it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, "Huh, what the fuck?" And it scared me that he thought it was me. Because mm-hmm. like that means it probably went in my room too. And I just, that thing was out to get me. I think it's because I was more in tuned, but like my whole family, none of us are skeptics, we all believe in ghosts. Mm-hmm. And then my mom one time had a full-blown conversation with my brother, and mm-hmm. then she turned around and my brother wasn't there. My brother was fucking working at Cinemark until
I just got fucking chills.
And then my mom and my stepdad were watching TV one time and they heard a man sneeze, and then my mom was like, and I looked at my stepdad, and Michael was like, "Did you hear?" I'm like, "Did you hear that?" And like they went to go check and there was no one there. And I mean, like, my brother worked at like Cinemark, like the back to him, my brother worked at fucking Cinemark, so he would work like midnight releases.
Yeah, dude, I hate that.
Yeah. And
that's fucking poltergeist.
Yeah. And then it hides your shoes, and I always thought that I was crazy because I could, my room is always a disaster. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you could never find your fucking shoes. And then
it would fuck with you on purpose.
We sold our house to those creepy people who mm-hmm. have security cameras everywhere, who are very scary.
Yeah.
And like, and she was like, "I need you to come get this American," because we had an American flag with like a sniper pin on it. I'm not sure whose it was, mm-hmm. but, and my dad's Social Security. I don't even know where they fucking found it. They found my dad's passport and his Social Security card. I have it somewhere up there. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "I need you to get your dad's stuff out of here because my house has too much going on." Mm-hmm. So I went in, and they're so sketchy that she's like, "Stay in your car. Don't come out because you might get shot." And then whenever I parked in the car, like everybody was coming around looking around, and this guy's like, "I don't remember her name. So you here for Susan?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "All right." And then everybody just went back inside.
What the?
Yeah, they're up to no good. I don't know what they're doing there.
Drugs. Yeah. They're making drugs.
And
meth.
Okay, guys, I lived in the middle of fucking nowhere. There's security cameras all over this place.
Yeah, like,
they have a towing company, and that could be what it's for, but
like, the thing is like, the house is like, there's, in front of it, like, this nowhere road. It connects two towns that are fucking nowhere, and then the one that goes like right next to it, you have to go down to get to the driveway. It just goes off in the middle of like the fucking like pastures and creeks and woods and shit. Like, it's literally in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And so
she
wanted me to come in so I could see what the house looked like, and I went, and I was really uncomfortable, and they still had like our decorations hanging up. It was really weird.
Ew.
And it was like walking to my house, but other people were in it. And so like, she was like handing me my dad's stuff, and she was like, "I'm really sorry that I made you come get this. Like, I'm like we have this ghost, we think." And she's like, "My husband's Puerto Rican, so we call it," and she said the name in Spanish. And she was like, "And it means it's like a prank ghost, and it likes to hide stuff, and he keeps hiding our shoes and socks."
Oh my fucking god.
She's like, "I keep missing my shoes." And I was like, what the fuck is that? Because I'm like, oh, I just thought I was a mess.
No, but now that someone else says it, it clicks.
She's like, "I found my shoe in a drawer the other day."
Jesus fucking.
Yeah, and it's really crazy. The fact that the house was so freaky that she was like,
"Yeah, the house.
Please come get your dad's shit out of here." And I was like, "I don't think it's my dad."
No, that's
like, I had to burn sage. I was so scared to sleep in my mm-hmm. room. Like, it was
bad.
I
hate that.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's a poltergeist.
Hell yeah. It was crazy. And I always forget how crazy it was. But like, oh, and then fucking once, our doorbell didn't work. Our doorbell rang once. And the only other time our fucking doorbell worked was whenever my dad fucking died and my Uncle Tracy rang our doorbell to tell my mom my dad died. And then one time, my brother and I were fucking home alone in this middle of nowhere fucking house. And we're sitting down. He's in his room. I'm in the living room. And we just hear
Oh, I don't like that.
And we, like, you don't answer the door, you know?
No, you don't answer the door.
And so
in the
we look out,
because,
like, where the window is, we, like, look out. There's no one fucking there. So I sprint to the bathroom to see if someone ran around the side. And Zach goes to the kitchen to see if someone ran around. Nope. Nobody was fucking there. No car was there. Nothing. Someone fucking cop knocked on my goddamn door. So, like, it was like the door was, like, rattling.
Jesus, that's, I don't like that. I mean,
and Zach came running out because he's like, we thought something was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fucked. And then I thought it was my neighbors who were like pissed off or something.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, that house was scary. That's why no one came over. I didn't fucking like it there.
I've been there once.
Yeah.
Maybe twice.
I don't even remember you being there.
I went there. I only went inside like once or twice. I remember sitting on the little and petting. What was your dog? Pooh?
Pooh.
Pooh. Yeah.
like Winnie the.
Yeah. All right.
That's my spooky house and biker bells. And
part of me wants to say that I want spooky stories to share, but I kind of
don't. It's just like the feeling, like, it's what's more scary is like, oh, fuck, there's a person in my fucking house while I'm naked in the shower. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Jesus.
So scary. All right.
So if you have stories like that, send it to us.
Please send it to us. Like, we keep getting promises, and Damien's the only one that came through.
Kinda.
Damien's the only one who kinda came through.
Damien and Russell, y'all know what's up. Hello.
Please.
But, like, it's gonna happen. We're gonna have episodes that run short, like this one today. So having these short stories that we can throw in there and stuff helps, because we don't want to give y'all like a 30-minute podcast.
Yeah,
that's boring.
Because like you guys are listening to this to get through with a work day or run or something.
We all know what's up. It's okay. But like, we want to give y'all like a 45-minute, hour or two podcast.
And if you guys have like a suggestion.
Ooh, not two.
No.
An hour.
And if you guys have a suggestion of like anything, please don't be afraid to sign into my DMs and definitely into Harlow's DMs.
Yeah, fucking message me.
Or even the podcasts, because mm-hmm. I'm actually the one who has the access to it because we can't log into it at the same time for some reason. But or just send us a submission. Harlow has submissions set up on the website they worked so hard on.
Yeah.
So please let us know. And so our Instagram, if you guys do want that, is the Corn Pod. That's thecornpod. And our website is,
it's just the Corn Pod.
So it's the same as our Instagram, thecornpod.com. Please plug in your pronouns so we call you by the right pronouns. Mm-hmm. And tell us anything. You can just send us a sentence. Please cover Jeffrey Dahmer and we'll fucking do it.
Yeah. I prefer y'all to do it that way. If y'all send it to me in like a DM or messenger, it's going to get lost.
Oh, that's true.
I'll forget about it. So if you can
send
it in there, but you know.
Yeah, if whatever. You could do a submission and not send us a cease and desist order, it's probably the easiest way that we can handle it.
We're not salty.
All right, everybody. Happy Thursday. We hope you enjoyed this dual episode week.
Yeah.
And we'll be back on our norm schedule. That's normal schedule for you guys that aren't cool.
It's a big one.
It's a big one.
It's a very big one. I'm very excited.
Harlow's going to take it away next week.
Yeah.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
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 Bye.